You're listening to Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken on the Tangent Bound Network.
Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Hey, Jim, boom! That's a bad outfit. Boom.
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me, my turn! Am I the meanest?
Sure enough.
Am I the prettiest?
Sure enough.
Am I the baddest mofo low down around this town?
Sure enough.
Well, who am I?
Sure enough.
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey, Geeksters, I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Welcome back, Geeksters, issue, and I didn't even bring it up this time.
It's issue 87.
88.
See, you're 88. Off by one.
Oh, you know what that means? We're going to go back to the future.
That's right. Hey, we get to go back and go to 2015.
You know what?
Oh, wait, we were already there.
That's right. <you know?
laughs> Yeah, but I still want my self-lacing shoes and the size-fitting automatic jackets. I want some of that stuff.
I will take the self-lacing
shoes. I thought Nike had some of the self-lacing in development.
I thought they did. They did.
Well, no, they actually put them out. Yeah. They were like $500.
Exactly. See, that's the shit. You can get them.
Yeah. Well, I want the flying DeLoreans. Or just flying cars in general.
Flying cars in general, yeah.
Yes.
And we were supposed to have those by 2000. Come on.
Well, the problem at work, we've talked about this. The problem with flying cars is the fact that people can't drive in two dimensions.
That's true.
Imagine what happens if we add a third dimension.
It'll take off. Someone's right above you.
Exactly. People can't not run into each other when they're driving just left, right, forward, back.
That's why they have the cars that start to drive themselves. They're going to have planes that drive themselves. You just sit back and...
Yeah. Well, Volkswagen is first. I don't watch car news much. Mm-hmm. But I guess, have you seen the new Volkswagen microbus they're putting out, the concept for it?
As I've seen the concept.
The futuristic looking.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what's kind of interesting is they have... at least two different models that they're putting out engine-wise. One's an electric hybrid.
Right.
Which is like Prius and all the rest of those. Mm-hmm. But they also have a full electric.
Well.
But the other one is by 2020, supposedly. Their plans is by 2020 to have an autonomous one that will drive itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, honestly, like, in my adulting profession, there's been, like, real work towards getting the cars to be able to actually... talk to each other,
mm-hmm.
so with all the different kind of safety stuff and looking towards autonomous vehicles being able to not have so many safety concerns.
Well, within the past year, they've actually come out with draft regulations for it,
right?
For autonomous vehicles that are supposed to pass this year, and it's globally. It's not just in the U.S. that they're doing it. And I mean, there's already been. Is it the tractor trailer that drove nationwide? And then I think one or two of the Google vehicles,
mm-hmm.
I think, are autonomous.
Well,
it was the one
the one that already...
The one that's been in accidents already.
Well, no, the one that prevented one. Like, there was...
Yeah, there was that one too. Yeah, that's true. So they're already
they've
up
had,
there.
What, one or two accidents over... And they've actually probably got 100, 200 autonomous vehicles around the world right now.
Yeah.
Right.
And we've heard of one or two accidents.
Right.
Exactly.
That, we can't. You put 100 people in 100 different cars, you're going to have more accidents than that in a week.
Look, I can sit... If you came to my job, sit with me for an hour, and you will see when I'm... Yeah.
That's a lot of accidents.
Yeah.
So people doing dumb things. I see that right at our home all the time.
Mm-hmm. One of my life mottos, don't be a dummy. It sounds simple and it's funny, but it's true.
But people don't think about how that should happen.
Yeah.
So, the future is looking interesting.
It really is. I don't have my car that can fit in the briefcase either, but that's okay.
Hey, but you gotta think by that point, we'll be old, so we don't have to worry about it. We'll just sit back. And
that's right.
We'll sit back and let the car drive.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
I know one thing though, once they come with the autonomous cars, thanks, Slade. Let's see. Oh, it did. It's still recording. Okay. Slade just switched it to something else.
Cats walking across.
Yeah. Cats walking across the computer. But, no, once again, at work, we talk about this dumb stuff like this anyway, so the one thing that, no matter what, with the autonomous cars, they better still have a steering wheel, and I want to be able to stop this and take over myself if something happens.
Just in case, yeah.
I don't trust the machines that much.
The thing is, though, once they really get into developing these autonomous cars, are they even going to bother having, like, the front driver's seat?
You know what I mean? You imagine how much space you got in that car then?
Exactly. If it's driving itself, you just have, like, a bench seat, and you're just, like, kicking back. I mean...
No. Forget the bench seat. I want captain's chairs.
Let's see. That was
a recliner.
You know, the thing
is... It won't have a steering wheel. It'll have all kinds of buttons.
And I just have to throw it out there. Aren't we just kind of throwing ourselves at the mercy of our robot servants? Because
I was going to go there.
I'm just saying.
Look at what Mac and what's her name? Yo-Yo was talking about on Last Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Have you seen any robot movie
in the last 30 years?
We saw what happened with Skynet.
Exactly.
And Skynet actually
Our various gadgets are talking to each other already. Your phone can control your TV, can control everything at your watch.
My boss is slowly working on building his smart house, buying different plugs here and there that are controlled by his Alexa. He has the Echo from Amazon.
Exactly.
See, you know, I got a Fitbit. My Fitbit talks to my phone, and it lets it know that how many times I've been walking.
And it sends you emails to let you know when you have to charge it.
It tells you by email when to charge me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It does. It set up email alerts automatically that tells you when to charge it, how to set up various features when someone sends you a challenge or a message.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's getting to the point where our devices are almost smarter than we are.
In some cases.
I'd say it is for a lot of people, but anyway.
Well. So, but before we get too far into the show, we do got to hit the beginning of each episode because we have stuff coming up. Mm-hmm. Remind everybody real quick, Groundhog Day is this weekend, and 3 days from when you guys get this to start with. I know Vicky and I will be there. Kylan said he's going to try to get up there if he gets a chance.
I'll pop in at some point.
That's sure. Right. And I know, I did find out on Facebook on my phone how to do Facebook Live from the Geek Watch 1. If I hit post on the Geek Watch 1 page, I can go to do live.
Okay.
So cool. I'm gonna try to get, I know Friday night, Drew and Marshall Dice from Dice Squad want to do some kind of an opening podcast type show thing. So I'm gonna probably set up something, we'll Facebook Live that.
Cool.
And then see where we go from there. Maybe do a couple game reviews or something on there.
Do you know what time that's gonna be?
I'm not sure. I think they were talking around 6 or 7.
Okay.
So I'm not sure. I got to talk to Drew just to confirm everything.
So if you have nothing better to do on a Friday night than sit on Facebook and watch video from our page.
Hey, you don't have to sit. You could be out doing something and still be watching it.
That's true.
Just not driving.
No, don't do it while you're driving.
Unless you're not autonomous yet.
Unless you're in a passenger.
You can have, like Vicky, that's how she plays Pokemon Go. She plays while we drive, but she's playing I'm driving.
Right.
So... But right after that, the next day after this is Monday, the 31st of, or no, 30th?
30th.
30th of January. Mm-hmm. And that is our Meeplecast, and it's our 2-year anniversary show.
That's right.
Yes.
So come out, check us out at the Meeple. The next weekend, you guys are going to be at the Family Reading Fest down in downtown Akron at the
library.
That's
right. Mm-hmm. I was sorting through books just yesterday, even. We probably have 8 boxes of books in the back of the SUV already.
Already.
With a few more to go, and we have other members of our group who have boxes ready. We'll have, like, more than 1,000 books. I know that for sure.
Yeah.
And we want them all to go, so come down and take them. We don't want to take them all home. To go.
I mean, if anybody's into, like, just, you know...
We have everything.
Everything.
Everything. Like, we even have, like, craft books and stuff like that, and recipe book, cookbooks and stuff, and all kinds of fiction, and some nonfiction, and kids books. We have a ton of kids books this time, which we don't always have.
Right.
We have a ton of kids books this time. So, and you can take as many as you want, because we want to get rid of them.
Cool. And I'm looking it up now, because there it is. Vicky and I actually are going that same weekend to an anime convention.
Okay.
Our friends Neil and Sherry... From what's the name of theirs? Is
uniquely yours?
Or what's the
name
of theirs?
They're gonna hate us for not remembering.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Neil. I know you're listening to this. I will get it. We will give you a proper plug probably on the next show. But we'll
add a link in the notes too.
They invited us to go out to Anime Mini, which is a 1-day con out in Greensburg, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So Vicky and I will be out there. If anybody's in that area that happens to be listening, find us and let us know. That'd be kind of cool. So we'll let you guys know what that's all about. It's actually the same day as ZipCon, too. So, or no, ZipCon's this weekend. If you get, you guys aren't anime people, but Akron U's anime conventions this weekend.
Okay. So it's kind of funny because you just hit OhioCon and then... You know, then all of a sudden it's like the deluge.
This is the time of year for anime cons, for a lot of them anyway, because there's not other cons going on.
Right.
So they kind of take over the winter months, aside from the couple of the ones that you get early and late summer, but they pretty much take over the winter months.
Right.
Well, come up right on the backside of there, the next weekend, we have Oddball again.
Yep.
We do.
This sounds like broken record. We have Oddball again, and again, and again, and again,
and again, and again.
But it's a blast every time we do it.
Yes, there may seem to be a lot of Oddballs, but quite honestly, they're all awesome. And there's always something new. It's not the same vendors all the time. Some of them are, some of them aren't. So there's always something new. This one is right before Valentine's Day. There's always vendors with jewelry and soaps and all kinds of stuff for anyone you'd want to get a gift for. Even chocolates. There will likely be chocolates. Right.
And I have the name for Gannersnitch's shows.
Uh-oh.
There's some good shows that Gannersnitch has two major shows he's doing. But he always does a couple shows.
Yeah.
He is bringing back his dating game show, kind of.
Oh, no.
And, well,
that's
he's
something
changed
it up. To see. Really, that is something to see.
Imagine Gannersnitch doing Loveline.
Oh my God!
Wait! You want it even better?
He knows this is all ages, right?
With Lovecraft.
Oh God! This sounds like actually something we should do at Con on the Cob late night.
Yeah,
because then it could be for us.
We'll get the PG version now, and then we
and then we'll approach them about it.
I remember Loveline.
Exactly,
oh my
that's
God!
What I'm saying. Yeah, a PG Loveline. That's going to be interesting.
There you go.
Let me find the right.
He should bring kids on the stage and ask about their love lives.
Yes.
That's what it should be.
Well, the first show on is closing out at 5 p.m. on Saturday is Loveline with Lovecraft and Gannersnitch.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
The other one is a brand new one that he's going to try out. That somehow he's doing the new Gablonian live radio show.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, if anybody follows him on Facebook, he does have a podcast off and on when he can get together with the other, with his partners and stuff.
I think, doesn't he do more of a vlogcast, though? Isn't it video on YouTube?
Played with both of them.
Okay.
So I don't know if this is going to be something similar to that.
Right.
But anytime you get Gannersnitch on the stage, it's going to be good stuff.
Right.
So, we do have, all of our normal entertainment. I'm trying to see if there's anything else, that is new that people wouldn't have...
There's a lot going on at this one, because you have the entertainment, you have your usual vendors and such, and then there's the panels as well.
Oh, yeah.
And because it's in conjunction with the Canton Museum of Art, and it's a bit of a fundraiser, so again, we mentioned there is a $5 admission fee for this one.
But the nice thing is, Andy said you get a wristband with that, so that's $5 for both days.
Yes.
Yes.
So if there's, you know, some entertainment or panels that you want to see on Sunday, but you're there on Saturday, you can come back again. And you also get access to the museum, and one of the reasons this is being done in conjunction with them is that it's called Dreamscapes. And they have all kinds of fantasy and gaming artwork. And this is why it's a big thing with Andy being the game producer that he is.
Yeah.
And why a lot of the panels are you know, a little more geared towards art and gaming and that kind of thing, too. So, so there's definitely a lot to do. And it's worth your $5. Number one, you're supporting the arts. And number two, once you get in there, all the stuff to see is there for free, and then you can, you know, make your purchases of vendors and such. But everything else is free there.
There is actual scheduled gaming, too, isn't there?
I believe there was. I don't know what he has on the website, but I believe he was going to have some scheduled gaming. Okay.
Yeah, I believe that there's going to be, I believe that there's supposed to be, that was the idea, that there's going to be a room dedicated to gaming.
I know, at some point, either him or someone will probably be running Low Life.
Right.
So, and if you know they're going to have someone running D&D and some Pathfinder and all the board games you can think of, if you've never seen the Con of the Cob game library, more than likely that's all going.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to play a game, he probably has it. If you want to play a game that you've never tried before that he doesn't, or if all else fails, email oddball. Or what's the website for, or the email for Oddball? Oddball.
You did this last time when I was supposed to have known and...
This is a thing, just go to
oddmall.info to look for everything.
But if you email them through the website there, you can ask them if they have this game. If they don't have it, he may be able to find a way to have it there.
Absolutely.
Andy's actually pretty good at that. There's a lot of our friends that have a lot of games. But Andy has most of them.
That's right.
So, but that's Oddmall. There are some other stuff coming up in future months. We'll catch on that as we go.
Yeah, we have to get past the next like month or so first.
Every week until the middle of February right now is book solid.
That's right.
So, it's almost like we're in the summer or something.
Really? You know, that's what it feels you're like. Right. I was thinking about it. I'm like, summer, I'm used to like, no, busy, 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 busy. But
yeah, and now all of a sudden winter, we're busy, busy.
We were talking about that, what was it, 2 weeks ago with the movies, did the same thing.
Yeah,
the movies are actually coming out in January. January, February is becoming a busy time.
The world is changing.
Don't change.
Well, I mean, they're getting good. They're actually, kind of, like you said, they're releasing decent stuff. Like, you know, and it used to be, you know what, this movie isn't going to do so well. Let's release it in January.
So we can get something out of it.
Yeah.
And now they realize people actually want to go to movies year round.
Yeah.
And the winter months are when there's less competition for some of the ones that you're not sure can really stand up against big names.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and we're looking at you, most lovingly, XXX. I'll be there
Kylan's
for you.
Kylan's already decided that
we're going to see it. How has that one been doing this weekend?
I don't know.
Give me half a second, I can tell you.
It didn't do well.
I don't know. We'll find out here.
I know it got beat out on its Friday numbers.
It did?
By who? Oh, that's probably by Bye Bye Man. From what I've heard, Bye Bye Man has been killing it in the theaters.
No, I think it got beat out by Split.
Oh, okay. No, that would be the other one. Yeah. So,
because everyone wants to see the Shyamalan movie.
Well,
yeah.
Considering the big twist that, you know, I don't mind finding out about spoilers, so I read all about it, and now I want to go see the movie.
Yeah.
He actually has come back to do a decent movie, finally?
Yeah. And,
okay. Well,
yeah.
Don't tell us. I don't want to know spoilers.
We can't say anything without really giving something.
Being M. Night Shyamalan, you can't. Yeah.
Yeah.
As of right now, it looks like XXX is actually at 70 million.
Yeah.
70.5. So, and since their budget was, where is it on here? I don't know. Their budget was much more than that, probably. Mm-hmm. Their budget was actually only $85 million. So they'll definitely make at least their budget back.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. You know, and that'll be fine. I mean.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about a franchise that the was it Enemy of the State came out in what 2008, 2009 maybe?
I don't know.
So, and that's okay, you know, it's, you know.
Hey, the Star Wars broke $1 billion this week though.
Yeah, I did see that.
Rogue One finally beat $1 billion, which everybody knew that's probably about where it's going to go. We might get a couple more, maybe 100, 200 more million out of it. Mm-hmm. But that's not bad for a non-saga story.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. So, but from there, why don't we get into a little bit? We have a couple of new snippets.
We do.
Mm-hmm.
What do we got going?
Okay, the first one I had, I just have to mention this because we talked about how when we did our first quarter movies, about how shocked we were that Chips was actually coming out because we hadn't seen anything.
Yeah, do we have any actual details yet?
That week, the Chips trailer dropped.
Oh, it did?
It's on our Facebook page because you know, I know you're checking that all the time.
I don't get on Facebook very often.
And it looks horrendous, not surprisingly. It looks like it's basically like Ponch and John are just like frat boys or something. Mm. At least John is, which surprised me. He's not supposed to be like, but it's like, I mean, he's played by Dax, so of course he's going to be, but he's very frat boyish while Ponch tries to be a little more serious.
So is it kind of like the Starsky and Hutch remake?
It's worse than that. Like, there's this ongoing joke throughout the trailer that's just horrendously kind of offensive in a way. So, but because of that, I kind of looked up if Eric Estrada had said anything. And he has not specifically spoken out about it, but after the trailer debuted, he actually retweeted a couple of tweets that skewered it, with one of them calling it pure trash, and basically pointing out that on the TV show, Ponch and John never drew guns. That was one of the points. That was one of the reasons it was family-friendly. They never drew their guns. Not surprisingly, in the trailer and in this movie, guns are out all the time. And that's one of the problems that, apparently in a past interview, Estrada even said, pointed out the whole gun thing and said that was one of the things that made it great, that made it so family friendly. And he even said he doubted it would continue if they ever made anything else out of it. So he's obviously disappointed, because that's one of the things he made sure to retweet was about the guns being in it. So I'm surprised he didn't say anything about just the slight raunchiness of the trailer itself and likely what's going to be in the movie. But maybe once the movie comes out, he'll say more.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to make sure to cover Eric Estrada's opinion on that.
You know, I never really noticed that they didn't have...
They never drew guns.
I never noticed it either.
No, they didn't. But that was the point. Like, it didn't matter.
Yeah.
Right.
You know? Well, it was cool, because the original show was... It was a cop drama.
Right.
From the 70s. So mm-hmm. It's still... Now it's kind of hokey and cheesy with some of it, but that's what gives it some of the charm.
Right.
And the fact that they took the show seriously.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Even though now, like I said, it looks... Some of the stuff in it looks funny, and it's just great. It's fun nostalgia thing now. But,
right.
The other one, actually, I did see the Baywatch trailer. Did you see the international trailer for that?
Yes.
Dad is not the Baywatch era. Now, some parts of it feel like Baywatch, mm-hmm. but the cussing and swearing all through the trailer?
Yeah. Yeah.
Although I was kind of hoping to hear the theme song for Baywatch at some point. So, it's going to be interesting to see what these do this year and see how
it goes. I'm not surprised. It's funny because I told Kylan that Baywatch was going to become an action comedy, and he didn't believe me.
Yeah.
And I said... Watch the trailer.
Uh-huh.
It is an action comedy.
Well, that's any of these remakes from the 70s, 80s, 90s that they've brought back, that's what they do with it. Like I said, the Starsky and Hutch, mm-hmm. that was an action comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like...
Chips, Baywatch, all of them.
Like, Jump Street.
They feel like they have to do that to get the audience.
Yeah, it's like, in order to get this nostalgic feel, you have to make it a comedy.
Yeah.
Right.
And like, really, you kind of do, because otherwise, if you kept the feel of the originals at their time... You'd have super serious dramas, and you're not necessarily going to pull as many people
right.
to the super serious cop movie or something like mm-hmm. that.
But you could. Well, what it is you got to. I think they're using the wrong part of comedy.
Yeah.
Because those other shows had comedy in them.
Right.
It's just you got to know when to do it and how to.
I mean, it doesn't have to be frat boy, and that's what all of them seem to be.
Yeah.
I mean, like in 21 Jump Street, sometimes the relationship between. Johnny Depp's character and Peter DeLuise, because they were partners.
Mm-hmm.
There was Peter's character was sort of like the comic relief.
Yeah.
So you kind of had a little bit of that going on, and there were other people within the department that kind of had a little bit of levity. But when you go back and look at 21 Jump Street, that was a pretty serious show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They tackled some very serious.
There's
topics.
A lot of issues in that show. Yeah. Yeah.
And so when I heard about the movie, and then I heard what they were doing with the movie...
And then you heard who was in it.
Yeah, Kylan's favorite actor of all time is in that movie.
That didn't help at all.
Yeah. I was just like, I'm not one of those people who are like, no, this isn't my 21. I'm not that guy. I'm okay with, I understand that you have to modernize it, that you have to tweak it for modern mm-hmm. audiences. I get that. But at the same time, if you lose the spirit of it, And I just kind of get that feeling that sometimes that's like what
they are,
SWAT,
yeah,
like the movie SWAT maintained
SWAT
the spirit.
Was pretty serious, actually.
Yeah, that's right.
That SWAT was pretty serious comparatively.
Talking these for a second, I don't want to go on a different tangent, but it's reminding me of talking remakes. You see, they're working on another Shaft, another remake of Shaft.
Why do you need another remake of Shaft?
I don't know.
Look, but Sam Jackson.
I just saw the headline at some point this week when I was flipping through stuff.
Okay, don't go to it. We'll look into more about that.
Yeah,
we'll find out.
Kylan wants to check it out.
No, because you'll go on for the next hour. No.
Oh.
In other news.
Yeah, let's move on quickly.
Why you throw that out there? Oh my god.
I have to find where
Sam
it was.
Sam Jackson was a fine Shaft.
Hey, what are you doing in my basement?
Man, did you
making a mess.
They're talking about remaking Shaft.
Again?
Exactly.
Sam Jackson was a fine Shaft.
He was an okay Shaft.
I mean, he wasn't Richard Roundtree.
No one knew about Richard Roundtree.
But why? I mean, it hasn't been that long.
No.
Give me a minute and...
See, can't throw this out there. They just want to let it go.
Shut your mouth.
I'm only talking about
Kylan Toll. Man, I need to get a leather coat.
Man,
I can't be Chef.
You need to grow an afro.
I can't grow an afro.
Come on, why not?
God, man.
As short as his hair is now, you know how long it would take him to grow an afro?
Exactly, man.
I don't know.
I have a little weak spot, like right here.
New Line's Shaft remake gets a director.
Yes.
That was posted just a couple days ago.
That's the one that caught me.
Yeah. I bet you could grow an afro in like 2 months.
So there you go.
Like a proper...
I could, in a couple months,
You got the testosterone.
You think...
I'm serious.
Here's the problem. The one that they chose, the guy they chose, Tim Story.
Yeah.
He's directed Barbershop and the Ride Along series.
Ooh.
Comedies. That's not good.
Yeah.
There was something else that he did.
That's the only one listed here.
Which one is it?
Why y'all want to hype me up like that?
He'll be shooting from a script written by Kenya Barris, who does Blackish, and Alex Barno, who does The Goldbergs. So it's written by sitcom people. Oh,
this
my God.
Like they're trying to turn Shaft into a comedy. That's,
there ain't nothing funny about Shaft. Oh!
Oh, you guys can't see this, but Kylan's having a conniption.
Oh,
I believe.
Man, I'm gonna let it go.
This week's blog from Kylan, maybe something along this line.
We're gonna let it go. I'm just let it go because this is a family friendly show.
Go with Frozen, honey. Let it go. Oh. Let it go.
Woo! All right, let's go with something else. Let's go with something else. Guys. Man, good Lord.
Okay, we can talk about movie companies, like companies news.
Yes. Okay.
The first one I saw was that Legendary Entertainment. Forced its founder to leave.
Okay.
It's because this is Thomas Tull, who is one of the founders of Legendary, which has done Godzilla and Jurassic World and Pacific Rim and all those. He founded it back in 2005. Well, apparently it was bought a year ago by a group in China. And they have not liked the way he's done things this whole time.
Okay.
And the word was from the Hollywood Reporter that he was resigning under pressure.
Okay. Well,
it's kind of disappointing you don't get to stay with the company you founded because of that. But
yeah.
Are they saying that? Does that mean that we're not going to see like a sequel to Pacific Rim?
Well, no, they're currently working on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they were disappointed with projects like Pacific Rim 2 and The Great Wall. So it's unclear so far what impact it'll have on its projects, because they're also working on a new take on Dune. They're working on a Pokemon movie. They're working on another, what they say here is an unnamed action movie with Dwayne Johnson. So it could be one of the ones we talked about last week. I don't know. But so far, he remains a producer on any of the Dune products, because I guess he was in on that already.
Yeah. Well, but Legendary has put out a lot of geek movies.
Yeah.
Yes.
Especially the past few years.
Yeah. Let me look up just their list, films they've produced. We got Warcraft was Legendary, Godzilla, Pacific Rim, Kong Skull Island, Jurassic World,
that's right.
Man of Steel, Dark Knight. All those, they were in on all
they
of
were
those.
All Legendary.
Well, then I wonder if the Doc Savage movie was going to be.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's there's an unnamed Dwayne Johnson movie, so that might be a Doc Savage.
I think they should just name a movie like unnamed Dwayne Johnson.
it would make money.
Aurora came up yesterday with the idea for the name of a movie called Walking on Logs. The action movie. And it's just about, you know, how in every, like, fantasy movie, there's always a scene where there's, like, a log falling over, like, a chasm.
And someone walks on it.
So she's like, it's just 2 hours of that.
Oh, there you go.
Yep.
And the sequel could be Log Rolling with the Lumberjacks.
Yeah, exactly. Or Falling from Logs.
So that was one bit of movie company news. The other one was that Marvel Entertainment named a new president. Who was previously their publisher, Dan Buckley. He got promoted to the position of president of Marvel Entertainment, and he's worked it as a publisher in the comics division since 2003, but he now oversees everything from publishing to animation, games, global brand management, television, digital efforts, and the only thing he doesn't, of course, is Marvel Studios, which is still Kevin Feige.
Yeah.
And apparently he will continue to report to the Marvel CEO, Perlmutter. Mm-hmm. It's unclear what the publisher role is now, because they didn't technically say he's no longer publisher.
Right.
So they don't know if actual publisher is going to be replaced by someone.
I was wondering, how does that actually work? Because DC has that too. Like, Dan DiDio is, and Jeff Lee, or Jim Lee, are co-publishers for DC.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But they're not the president of DC Comics.
Right.
I mean, is it just that the president takes care of all business things and that they take care of all comic book? Or how does this
work?
Well,
technically, I mean, when you have a large company like that, you need someone who oversees the various departments as a whole and then people in the individual departments to deal with the day-to-day stuff. You know, so they deal with the business end of it and the promotions and that kind of thing and, you know, the big... The bottom line kind of stuff, whereas other people
the publisher
deal with
takes care of more of the creative.
Exactly, right. Exactly. And the hiring,
and you got,
the firing.
Then
and
you
such.
Get Jeff Johns, who does everything that's not publishing.
Right,
right,
right.
Well, I mean, you was it last year when they divided Marvel Entertainment from. Was it Marvel Cinematic and Marvel Entertainment?
Yeah.
Remember, they
something like that. So they put it, divide between the TV and the movie.
They had their movies separate from everything else.
Right. And
because
so,
they were such a big property.
Right. And so Feige, you know, basically was kind of stuck in over. And I forget, for some reason, I thought Buckley was the one that was over there doing that, but it may have been somebody else.
I thought Loeb was in charge of entertainment for a while, or television.
The most recent Marvel Entertainment president was Alan Fine.
Okay.
So, but they haven't mentioned what he's moving on to or what's happening with him.
And when you look at all the animated stuff, you see Alan Fine and Dan Buckley's name all over the place.
Okay.
So those two guys have been around for a long time. And
Alan Fine is an old school TV guy, if I remember right.
Yeah, he is. He is. And to see Buckley move up like that, and to see him, basically, now, one article that I read said that he had an expanded role, so I don't know if that means that he's still going to be doing his...
Well, that's what they said. They don't know what it means for being a publisher.
Right, so,
we'll
I don't know, we'll see.
Out.
That's just like, well, companies that size, especially Marvel and DC have gotten so huge that, the traditional role of, like, publisher, it's a totally different... Mm-hmm. entity for them as it is for maybe even like an Image or Dynamite or any of those.
Right.
Because it's the company is so far ahead size-wise of these other companies.
Well, and the thing is, you've got publisher, but then you also have editor-in-chief. Technically, those are two different things.
Yeah.
Yes.
But your editor-in-chief can really take over the publisher role based on what they do. So it could be something where he still actually has the title publisher in addition to president, and then editor-in-chief is really doing those roles.
I've noticed that a lot with comics, that they'll change names, but then nothing else changes.
Yeah. Right.
They just, oh, well...
That
for this
happens in business all the time.
Yeah. For the shareholders, they need to see someone that says president, so here, you get this title.
Exactly.
Right.
They need to have someone to blame for the big things.
That's right. So, that's what you had on that, right?
Yep.
Okay, well, I had a real quick one.
Mm-hmm.
This one is, NBC is actually moving back into the comic books again. We got Powerless coming out. We've seen it in the last 10 years. NBC has actually made an effort, and you can see that, to move into the geek world with Chuck and with Grimm is still running, and then some of these other ones. Well, they've actually announced that they're developing a brand new Witchblade series. So Witchblade may be returning to television. Now, they had a pretty good show on TNT back from 2000-2002.
Right.
And from what I remember, it was a pretty good... I liked it. I watched all the episodes of it.
Mm-hmm.
That one, it was interesting, because if you remember Witchblade from the comics, it's really not a PG costume.
No.
Really. But the way they did it was kind of interesting, because she basically had a bracelet that became the gauntlet, and that was the Witchblade.
Right.
That's right.
So it wasn't, it didn't become a whole costume for her.
No.
But she, I forget how she got it, but she used it to fight crime, because she was a detective or something.
Right.
I don't remember, I never read
a
whole lot
of
Witchblade.
She was a detective, I remember she was a detective, yeah.
But they said the CSI producer Carol Mendelsohn and Vampire Diaries showrunner Carolyn Davis are actually doing the adaptation for this.
Okay.
It was originally created by Mark Silvestri, David Wohl, Brian Haberlin, and Michael Turner, the original character, which is some of those guys you'll recognize still in the industry now. And it was actually done by Silvestri's imprint, Top Cow, which I believe was under the Image banner originally, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
It was one of the ones that... And the thing about Image, especially then, was the fact that it was all creator-owned comics.
Mm-hmm.
It was guys that got ticked off, basically, with Marvel and DC.
Yeah.
About creating all this stuff and doing all this work and not having anything to show for it. And they said, you know what? We'll start our own company.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? It's still there.
Yeah.
It's done well. I don't know if they still run it the same way, but that's what it was originally. So you had Top Cow and a couple of other ones underneath that doing things. Like Todd McFarlane had his company in there. So it's going to be interesting to see where this goes and what NBC does with it. Now, this is just now announced that it's developing, so we may be a year or two out from this.
Yeah,
right.
But it's just cool to see him moving in that direction. So what else did you have, Ms. Dawn?
A couple of other quick ones I had was, finally, Deadpool won a movie award. I just want to point out, People's Choice Awards, Deadpool won for favorite action movie. It was up against Batman Loves Superman and Civil War and Suicide Squad and X-Men Apocalypse.
Okay.
So not it was like, forget action movie. It was like superhero movie category.
Yeah.
They didn't have any other action in it. But yeah, so People's Choice, even though a lot of the People's Choice winners were crap this year, if you look at the full list, and we're not going to talk about it.
Most awards winners are not the best.
People don't always make the right choice, but they did in this instance. So we're still waiting. By the end of this week, I believe we're getting the Oscar nom, so we'll see what happens with that. My other little one was that it's been confirmed that Sony's Spider-Man animated movie will feature Miles Morales.
Okay.
So that's what everyone was waiting for, and that's what everyone was basically expecting.
Yeah.
It's written by the Lego Movie team. So everyone knows, you know, the kind of tone it'll get, and it's
they're
going to
be they're busy then because they're that's Miller and I forget the other one, Miller and Lord, but they're in the process of prepping and getting ready to go to camera for Han Solo also.
There you go. So it's done by them, and the release date is supposed to be Christmas season of 2018.
Okay.
So those were a couple short ones.
Cool. The only other one I had was I knew that Kylan would enjoy that, or did we mention Batman?
We haven't talked about
it. Another one, I knew Kylan would enjoy this. When we were doing DC Superpowers, I came across a story, and it was just a real quick snippet that in April, DC's doing another crossover. Now, DC's been, the last couple of months, has done a lot of crossovers with other companies, and we have some coming up. Like, we have Green Lantern Planet of the Apes coming up.
Right.
They're doing a Power Rangers Justice League right now.
Right.
Then they've been. It just seems like in the last couple months they've done, and going into the future, they're looking at. I guess there's an Archie crossover coming at some point this year.
Okay.
With Archie Comics, it'll be a character from Archie Comics.
Okay.
So I don't know which one it is, but there's that. That's going to be coming in the future. But Dynamite is actually crossing over with DC in April, and it is a DC team writing it. We're getting Batman the Shadow, which is interesting because the way the synopsis read was. Batman's investigating a murder, and all clues lead to, what is it, Lamont Cranston?
Lamont Cranston.
Being the killer.
Yeah.
He's been dead for years, according to the lore in the universe.
Right.
So, as Batman's investigating this, figuring out what's going on, then you have the Shadow from the other side trying to, push him away from the secrets that he's been hiding for all these years.
Mm-hmm.
And we know from the, comics that usually the Shadow is probably not the actual killer.
Right. Never the killer.
But everybody thinks he is. The Shadow seems like he's more of a hero on the lines of like the Green Hornet, isn't he?
Yeah.
Where he's working from the villain side for the side of the good.
Right.
Everybody sees him as the villain, even though he's the one solving the crime.
Mm. It's interesting, because last year they did a crossover of the Shadow and Twilight Zone.
That'd be different.
I read. It was interesting because it was... Every time an issue ended, it was basically as if he was sleeping and woke up in yet another reality. And, like, in one reality, he was the actor and not the actual Shadow, and they were doing a radio show. And another reality, he was caught in a war. And another reality, like, it was kind of crazy, but it was actually really well written.
I gotta find some of those, talking about the radio show, it's like, I have some of the old Shadow radio shows on tape.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to find them on digital somewhere, because those were some good stuff.
When I was in college...
Find them online to listen to.
Probably.
When I was in college, I listened to one, and I made the mistake of listening to it in the dark. Oh, my God.
That's your own fault.
Like, because I was like, oh, it can't be that scary. Oh, no, it was.
They
like,
made sure it was creepy.
Was creepy.
That's the entertainment you had.
You went into it thinking, oh, this is a superhero one. I've listened to Superman. I've listened to Batman radio shows from back in the day. This is fine.
No.
They're looking behind you the whole time.
I'm serious, because it was just like, I gained, and I think I had a bunch of little things that kind of got me on this road to loving pulp and those old characters. Mm-hmm. And this was part of that because, mm-hmm. you know, it was a whole mind game with him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he That's, made you his whole power up.
Is, yeah. It's all about hypnosis and suggestion and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, that's one of the things that most people... I have a hidden love for all the old-school radio, especially the action stuff, the Superman and Batman and The Shadow. I can't even think of all the other ones. But most of the action comic book-style radio shows. It's mm-hmm. I love the way they did the sound effects, the way they made it.
Right.
It was
right.
awesome stuff. That and with some of the ones that have still come to now, like Batman and Superman, hearing the difference between the character then mm-hmm. and the character now. Mm-hmm. Like, Superman... He showed up on Earth originally as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
There was no Smallville. There was, first couple issues, there was no Perry White. There was no Daily Planet. He was actually writing for the Daily Star, I believe, originally.
Well, yeah, it was Daily Star. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which they've actually just brought back into Superman Comics now. It's actually a rival paper for the Daily Planet.
Oh,
there you go.
So, but I think that's all I have. Did you have any other news stories before we get into?
The only other thing was the delay in Star Trek Discovery.
Oh, yes, I forgot we do want to talk about that. Because there was a delay, but there's also some good things we heard.
Well, yes, there was casting news, but they talked about the fact that... I'm being approached by a cat right now.
Slade says you will pet me.
That basically, Star Trek Discovery won't make its May premiere on All Access as planned. There are a few things involved, but the biggest reasoning is that Sonequa Martin-Green, who is playing the lead role, which they have not even released what kind of lead role that is.
If I remember, she was playing, they're calling her lieutenant or something like that. Yeah, she's actually not the commander of the ship.
Right, and they haven't really released, like, kind of the story involved in it. But she'll soon be back on Walking Dead when season 7 returns. And some executives are apparently worried that it will cause confusion among consumers if a new series goes into heavy promotional campaign while she's still on the other show. And the other thing is that for The Walking Dead, people involved in that show aren't permitted to shoot other shows at the same time they're being shot. So based on when production happens with The Walking Dead and when it's supposed to happen with Discovery... That, you know, she gives priority to Walking Dead because she's got the contract with them already. So,
well, especially since this is a first season, they have like 13 episodes.
Yeah.
She's already got a job.
Right, exactly. And basically they said the other aspects that are delaying it are pretty much the same sort of creative stuff that's been delaying it the whole time.
Yeah.
And they haven't released any kind of replacement window for when it might come out yet.
Okay.
But then there was also casting news.
Yes.
This one is
pretty big and kind of exciting.
The one I saw was for Sarek,
yes.
who's Spock's father, and it's James Frayne. And if you don't know who that is, he was on Gotham and Agent Carter.
Yeah.
He got blowed up real good on Gotham. That's all. Blowed up real good. That was one of the best scenes Gotham has ever had when Azrael. Azrael got blowed up with a rocket launcher.
Yes.
One of the best things
ever. I was trying to remember the name. He was mayor.
He was the mayor. He was, yeah.
And, do you remember his name?
But yeah, the so mayor if you've seen Gotham and you saw that awesome explosion when he got blowed up right in front of everyone else. He was right in front of the car and everything.
Yes.
I remember that. That was Butch Gotham.
Butch a hero.
Yeah, Butch Gotham. So he's going to be Spock's father.
Yes. I could see that, actually. Because it was Mark... What's his name? I don't remember his last name, but the guy who played Sarek actually played him in the original Sarek. Played him in the original Star Trek series, but then reprised the role in the movies.
Yeah.
And in The Next Generation.
Okay.
Because in Star Trek lore, the Vulcans lived 200-400 years.
Right.
So Sarek made it all the way through into the Next Generation series also.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I believe that we've exhausted the news for the moment.
We have.
Or at least the news that we have. And I think we should talk some Vikings.
We should talk Vikings.
I almost dropped in the music because I actually have the soundtrack on. The theme music for this is amazing.
We could all just chant. That's all we need.
But I'm going to leave this for you guys a little bit more. Where do you guys want to start with this? Because Vikings is a pretty big thing. Now, anybody who doesn't know, it's a History Channel show.
in history, even for their nonfiction shows, they try to use some actual history in here.
Yes.
And Vicky's pointed out to me that most of the characters in this are actual names out of history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whether or not they were actually connected in history, they are people out of history. Like Ragnar Lothbrok was a Viking king, or if I remember, he was a farmer who became a king.
Yes.
Yep.
And had done exploring and raiding and stuff.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that was kind of the whole point of history being able to do this show to begin with. They took the real people, the real Vikings, the real leaders of France and England and all that, and they've taken a lot of the stuff that they did, a lot of the stuff that happened in their lives, and in the case of Ragnar and his family, a lot of it became mythology because it was Vikings. But they've taken what's been known and kind of given it the poetic creative license to create the show around it.
The nice thing is, I was telling Vicky on the way over here, that the time frame that this happens, they've never mentioned the time frame because time, I think, was different than really. I mean, where they measured the start of time and stuff, the calendars were different then.
Yeah.
But really, with the time that they had made this from, even like English history and regular main European history is kind of fluid on what happened when.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's why a lot of our legends come from those times, because it's things like King Arthur. Mm-hmm. No one has definitive proof that King Arthur lived in some place called Camelot, but we know a general time frame of when it was. That's why you're able to do movies like, Arthur,
mm-hmm.
that took place as the Romans are leaving England,
mm-hmm.
and he was a Roman soldier.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or you can do other versions of it where that it's actual medieval times with the castle and things like that.
That's because back then a lot of that was based on actually several different people and several different events.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's like Robin Hood.
Yeah.
That was different events and different people.
And a lot of it is
put together as one.
A lot of it's oral history. It wasn't written down.
Mm-hmm.
Or people didn't necessarily know how to write. There was a reason that, it was the monks who knew how to write, and what they were writing was all the religious stuff.
Exactly.
And they weren't writing down the history. And by the time they came to write down the history, number one, it had changed so much because a lot of it became legend and became so much bigger and, Ragnar was supposed to be 10 feet tall or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or it, as is always the case, history's written by the victors. And
exactly.
So you don't know what happened with the rest of everyone in their own world because they weren't writing about it.
Exactly. And that's still going on today when it comes to that.
Exactly.
Mm. I find it interesting because one thing that they do bring into this is, if you look at Viking history, eventually most of the Vikings actually did become Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And this shows that, as far as this world's concerned, Ragnar was the first one to actually be teased by this and wondering what's going on here. This is a different point of view. Is this really the way it's supposed to be?
Question his beliefs
He questioned the Norse gods.
Yeah.
And at one point technically became a Christian, whether or not he fully believed it.
Right.
But it's interesting seeing that.
And now you have Floki questioning.
Yeah.
Because of what he saw with Muslims,
mm-hmm.
and which was an interesting approach to finally get them into yet another culture this season, even though they basically trashed everything.
Well,
but,
until you got to the mosque.
They did as Vikings do, and exactly, Floki was the one who stopped them from decimating the mosque and the believers and those who were in the middle of their own kind of mass going on, because he understood that was their religious place and it was a sanctuary. He understands like the idea of sanctuary,
mm-hmm.
and that you should not be killing there.
That is one thing about the character of Floki. Through this whole show, Floki's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's who he is. But he's also a carpenter.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he's crazy in like a bad way. He is
No.
What it is he's not in his time. He's very, very smart.
Yeah.
And he's very, very religious.
And he questions.
Yeah.
Questions a lot, and he's open-minded enough to absorb what other people are doing.
And the fact that he learned the English was interesting.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Well, interesting thing with him is when they were doing the mosque, and he stopped them from killing anybody else in there.
Yeah.
I was wondering, is that possibly that maybe he was a little fearful that they've never walked into a place where people totally ignored them when they came in,
mm-hmm.
pillaging and plundering.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
These people totally ignored him and continued praying.
Yeah.
And then he's like, wait a minute.
He questioned
in my mind,
that,
I'm thinking, is he questioning, if these guys have this much devotion to just praying, what's going to happen if we stop this?
Yeah.
Right.
He questioned that devotion, and he was mostly confused by the fact that they had such devotion and such prayer going on without images of their god.
Yes. That's one thing they questioned. Wait, where's this guy?
Yeah, and that confused him, and that's why even in the most recent episode, he couldn't tell his wife what he was thinking because he hasn't figured it out yet. He said, he said it's a truth, but I just don't know what it is.
If Floki, the character of Floki, is probably the most spiritual of all the characters. Yeah. And I think that's why he was so offended when Ragnar accepted God and Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't that he was such a heathen. It was just that Floki has, you know,
his every part of his being is for the Norse gods.
Yes.
Right. And then something.
But he wants to understand the others. Like, he wants to understand why these are my gods and this is
why
what I believe, and they're supposed to be in control of everything. Why do you have the different god?
And this is almost the beginning of world trade, if you look at it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. That's what's cool, because I think at this point we're slowly getting to the point in where Vikings is at now, because every season they find someone new.
Mm-hmm.
The first season, Ragnar took a raiding parties and they found England.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The next one, they actually made it south. They made it into France.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think England was the first two, because we're on season four, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Then we made it into France, which actually, in this show, Ragnar's brother, Rollo, is actually another one out of history that there was a Viking named Rollo that went to France and married in and became a king in France.
Yeah, he became the first Viking king of Burgundy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this is another character that may not have had any contact with the others in history, but they were able to use this and say, hey, well, let's take this other legend we've got out of here and let's add it to here now.
Right. Because his story is more written down.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And then this year, we find,
Mediterranean.
This is all the family of Ragnar doing this, because we find Ragnar's son, oldest son, Bjorn, decides, you know what? I've heard about that when we were in France, he got this partial map of this place called the Mediterranean.
Yep.
So he wants to see what this is.
and that's just it. It basically comes down to, from the beginning, the Vikings discovering that there's more to the world than just their world.
Exactly.
And so the whole thing is about expanding out, and, I mean, it depends how far they're going to go with how many seasons they get, but, I mean, they could cross over into North America.
Yeah.
You know, depending how long they go with it.
Well, the cool thing is going to be also, I'm looking at this point, they're at almost a tipping point.
Mm-hmm.
Because Bjorn, I could see as Ragnar was, when he goes raiding, they went raiding.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And Bjorn is actually looking at what they're doing as they're going, and you can see his mom, Lagatha, is creating their Kattegat, their town, has become a trading hub.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the chances of him actually, when
it, well, it was
starting
Oslog
to raid? Well, yeah, Oslog built it up, but then Lagatha's actually doing the
she's doing the military
fortifying
part.
It.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But what's the chances that Bjorn's going to be the one that actually starts checking out towns and actually offering, hey, you know what, we won't destroy you, and starts trading with other people, not just straight pillaging.
Yeah, but they're going to have to do something to Ivar, because he just wants to burn the world.
There has to be something. We'll get to Ivar in a minute. Ivar is a totally different animal.
He just wants to burn the world.
Exactly.
Down.
He even said that. It's like, we declare war on the world.
Yeah.
That boy, something ain't right with that boy.
And the other three brothers will just follow.
Well, I pointed this out to Kylan, I think it was when we were watching the most recent one, because he said, are his eyes really that blue? And I said, no. They've done that to him, and they did it to Ragnar, and it's supposed to show you exactly that that's his father's son.
Uh-huh.
And because their eyes are not that blue, they put a shade over them, but they're exactly the same in their quest for power, basically.
Well, actually, Ragnar originally, I think he was fully honest when he went to England and talked to, what's the king that, Aela is the one that they just hoisted.
Right.
What's the name of the one that they've been talking to the most? I don't remember off the top of my head, it's just... But when Ragnar made the deal with him, Ragnar, I think, was honest and actually said straight up, hey, we want to start farming this and trying to live together with you. That's why one of the things, the reasons I'm thinking that Bjorn would have gotten those ideas also, that he's going to become more, as much a diplomat as a warrior.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we already know he's one of the strongest warriors of the city.
Yeah.
Of all the Vikings, really, the way you do this. And that's why everybody else will follow him so much, and all these other countries will follow him.
Right.
It's King Ekbert.
Ekbert, that's it.
Yeah, that's the one.
But,
But Bjorn is the combination of his parents.
Yes.
Like, he never, unlike his brothers, he didn't lean towards one or the other. He's a perfect combination of of the power and the strength and the smarts and the diplomacy from his dad and his mom. Right.
You know what the funny thing is, though, if you look back over the history of the show, really, Ragnar wasn't the stronger warrior of the two.
No. Mm-mm.
Lagatha's the stronger warrior. Ragnar was a farmer who wanted to explore.
Yeah, he was.
And when he first started exploring and he found the Sunstone that led him to England, they pillaged and destroyed and stuff and raided because that's what they did.
Yeah.
Right.
He hadn't had time to formulate and have enough power with the other Vikings to get them to stop the and start talking.
Right.
He hadn't got. So as he gained power, he was able to slow them down and say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's figure out what's going on here, and we can make so much more money.
But some of that was with Athelstan.
Yeah,
yeah. Exactly.
Athelstan helped a lot.
When he, you know, I want him and didn't want any of the money.
Right.
He learned.
So this is a very nuanced show. There's a lot of little things here and there. I'd be interested to go back to the beginning now and watch from the beginning now and see what you noticed that was there that we didn't know was there.
Right. And I like the fact that, you know, and it's because it's on the History Channel. They keep so much of the history of what's known of the Viking cultures and the way they have their ceremonies and the way they have even the foods and the celebrations and
the
way
torture.
The way they killed people. When they did, within the first couple seasons, when they did that Blood Eagle, I looked it up. They followed it.
Yeah.
He's got historians that work on that show.
Exactly.
With him.
Exactly. And the way they in the most recent one where they basically flayed the king.
The cool thing was, they had shown graphically enough that, and the first time they did that they didn't have to do that this time.
Right.
They went a lot lighter on it this time.
The blood splatters were all
everybody knew what was going on because you'd already seen it.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. But, and then when you had, you know, the sacrifice of a willing sacrifice, someone who was like, yes, you know, give me to the gods, kill me and give me to the gods so that you can have a successful raiding party or whatever. Like, that's just, like, as far as I'm concerned, that's crazy. Uh-huh. But I mean, that's how they did it. And that was, they knew they were going to Valhalla for doing that.
I almost expected her to sacrifice the blonde. That was my first.
I was wondering.
But instead, she's with the two brothers. And I'm like, she's not Viking.
No.
The one that became the wife, she's not Viking.
No, she's not. I think that's the other interesting thing, though, in the most recent episode was that they finally really brought out the nature of relationships in the Viking world where you can have a polyamorous relationship.
Yeah.
Whereas they weren't as concerned of, you know, this is my woman and only my woman and that. Like, you could tell the brother was like, I love her, but you love her too. She loves both of us. We're good to go.
Right. You know? And she could understand that they weren't jealous. And she was trying to test them and neither
and
of them
were
jealous.
And she was like, okay, we're good. So.
Well, we've seen that. We saw that. It was mostly just Ragnar, but we've seen that with Ragnar. Now Bjorn.
Yep.
Everybody's kind of going along with everybody.
Bjorn's a little more sketchy, though. Yeah. I mean, they're not open and obvious, even though Lagatha knows exactly what was going on, and Bjorn's wife knew what was going on.
Well, they're not married.
Technically, they're not actually married. But, I mean, he's the father of their kids and everything. Mm-hmm. It's kind of considered almost marriage with them. Yeah. But, I mean, it bothered me that he basically, when he said goodbye to his mom and that, he hugged the other one, but not the mother of his children. Like, he just went up to her, and he was like, well, yeah, see ya. You know?
Take care of my children.
It's kind of like, you bastard, she knows what you're doing! You know? And if obviously his mom's kind of okay with it, but something's going to come out later. Not up front
about it. Well, the weird one is that his mom and him are sharing a mistress.
Yes.
That's because she was obsessed with Lothbrok anyway. She's obsessed with
Lothbrok.
She is.
I have to admit, I get that culture. You know, they have their ways. I get that. But I was telling Don, I'm like, that's his mom's woman. That's
just, like I said, it's a little Oogie.
I think she was in love with Ragnar, but she couldn't have Ragnar, so what's the best? Lagatha.
And now she gets Bjorn.
Yeah, Lagatha was the stronger warrior anyway.
Right.
Look at the women she trained, all the shield maidens that she trained.
That's right.
You don't mess with them.
No.
That's another one straight out of history. The shield maidens in history were as strong, if not stronger, than most of the Vikings.
It was a fairly equal society in terms of, you know, like, sure, there were, when you were home, certain people did the cooking, certain people did the farming, you know, whatever. But when it came down to battle, everyone was trained to do battle. and there was an equality. It wasn't like, oh, you're a woman, you have to stay home.
No. That, a lot of time they difference. Stayed home and they protected the village.
Exactly. I mean, and that with Lagatha putting all the fortifications up, now that they're a bigger village than they used to be and everything, I mean, that and she even told the one son, you know, I know what your father would have wanted me to do. And basically meant he would have wanted me to protect what we have and what we've made.
That's why she's building the pits and the walls.
Exactly.
Because in a way, she trained him how to fight.
Exactly.
He wasn't a fighter.
Oh.
Ragnar was not a fighter.
No. So, now, where we're at now is, now I'm wondering, are they going to keep that King Aayla prop going so that they can actually see the reaction of his people to seeing this?
Oh, yeah.
Are they going to show the reaction?
They kept going back to the forest after Ragnar had been killed in every episode. So I think they'll keep that and they'll have people talking about the reactions and such, and you might see it maybe once or twice.
But do you think Ekbert went... Because I know at the end, when Ragnar died, Ekbert was the only one there. Do you think he took him out of the pit? Because they opened it. It didn't look like anything was in
it. I know, it didn't look... Well, there weren't any snakes there either. Yeah. So I'm wondering, someone cleared it out. But, the thing is, he would have had to have gone back to get him out of the pit, because there still would have been snakes in there.
Yeah.
At the time he was there watching that. So, I don't know. That's what I was wondering.
Too.
Yeah.
You know, according to Wikipedia, for as reliable as it is, that is how Ragnar died.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's it what is. Vicky was saying, too. Yeah. She had seen that also. So,
I was like... Yeah, I didn't watch that scene.
Yeah, Kylan has a bit of an issue like with snakes.
No, God, no.
My family does also.
And what about the... We all know that was Odin that went to all the brothers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that
that's
was
another
Odin
interesting one.
Who kept Ragnar from hanging himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. With the crows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is interesting that they do that, though, because this show is really writing myth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And by doing that, they're actually able to use... I would not be surprised if they had Christian signs and things also... Mm-hmm. That show that God exists in this world.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, and that's just it. They've had Odin appear. They've had the one who last season he came to town a couple times. I can't
Hubbard.
Remember. Yeah,
that's the character that I'm still confused about. Who
quite
this
tell
was?
If he was supposed to be a god, like maybe perhaps like a Loki of
they all
some
thought
type.
He was Odin, and he was like,
yeah,
like, I don't, all he wanted to do was just sleep with all the women.
Exactly. And that's what made it a little confusing as to... And then he suddenly disappeared.
So who is
then,
the Norse god of love?
But then he saved the kids out of the river and...
Let's see.
And then you had the Ragnar's horrible second wife, who...
Well...
who thankfully got taken out by Lagatha, which was awesome. But she was, you know, a witch and a seer in ways. And then they have the seer in their village... Who they always go to? They're basically their oracle, who they go to find out their future. And a lot of times that happens. Whatever he has told them, it actually happens, which is, you know, another questionable sort of thing. But there's a lot of they have the mythology. They have things that, you know, people are seeing things. And Ragnar did a lot of that with the crows, and especially when he was with that his one. Kind of slave woman from China or somewhere.
He was
going on the opium and everything.
The whole thing of having women in every port. Ragnar found women in every
Ragnar,
port.
That was Ragnar, basically. But with the opium and the visions he was getting and things like that. And it's an interesting way they approach that sort of thing and the way they show kind of more the mythology side of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Aslaug was supposed to be a princess. And I think when we get back to the myth, I think that's like where her parents, I think that was more myth than truth.
Right.
Her father killed with a dragon and all the other
stuff.
I think that was more myth.
Yeah.
I think she was just a princess.
This is one show that hasn't had dragons yet.
Yeah. So. Well, she was just a princess.
Yeah.
I think the reason that the 10 years Ragnar was gone, I think a lot of it had to do with the sons and Bjorn.
Mm-hmm.
That built this city up.
Yeah, absolutely.
And she just sat back and did nothing.
Now, what was the name of that guy that we were trying to figure out who his character was? Do you remember his actual name? I'm looking at IMDb, and I'm trying to find a picture of his name. Yeah, it was something like that.
Because that was the second...
What was the character name?
The second youngest, you know, he kept bringing that up, and, you know, all she was focusing was on Ivar. She never paid attention to the others.
So I was going to see if there's a wiki on that, if that's actually a character out of history or not. I should have done this a while ago, but hey.
No, I think he was just a guy that... had a few little tricks up his sleeve.
Probably.
Yeah, that's what I think it was.
He was getting all the women, because he was sleeping with everybody that one year.
Yeah.
See, I know who the actor is, because he's on The Strain as well, so let me look him up.
Okay.
Harbard. H-A-R-B-A-R-D. Harbard / The Wanderer is what he was known as.
I think he was just a hippie.
That's what it seemed like. Like, he was one of those... Because it was love everybody, and, you know, be nice to each other.
Going from, house to house.
Oh, wait, there is actually someone from Poems.
I think.
Harbor, it's spelled totally different because it's a Norse one.
Right.
It's actually the name of a poem found in this...
It could be loosely...
It is a flirting poem with figures from Norse paganism.
There you go. A flirting poem. So yes. There you go. He was meant to be the flirt.
Mm-hmm. I was expecting Aslan to get pregnant, though. Can you imagine if he came home and there was a fifth kid?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I absolutely thought the pregnancy was going to happen. That's the other thing where you can see where the Vikings invade in other ways, where they've suddenly, you know, impregnated the English or French or mm-hmm. whoever, and they may or may not have kids, or they may, you know.
Like, yeah. Well, that's also in Christian history. Mm-hmm. Vikings are actually seen as some of the strongest and most proliferant missionaries there ever were.
Mm-hmm.
There's ancient churches in Iceland and Greenland and all. And actually, if you look in Canada, you can find mm-hmm.
Eric the Red was
things
like
from
that.
It all. Yeah,
Eric the
they,
Red.
Everywhere they went, they made a temple, mm-hmm. or for them, it would have been a church.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because Eric the Red was his wife was Christian. He was not, uh-huh. but he still built when they went exactly. to Greenland. He still built a church for her, and it's.
That's the one thing that looks like, I've not done a lot of Vikings, but looks like Vikings eventually learned to respect other religions, even if they didn't believe it.
Right.
And that is what this show is starting to show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
With things like we said earlier, with Floki and the Muslims, and Ragnar in England eventually right. figures out, hey, wait a minute, and talks to Athelstan and starts to respect
it's
the other
It's
one.
Basically kind of getting to the point where it's showing... a Viking enlightenment, in a way.
Exactly.
That, you know, like...
It looks like that's the time we're in.
If they're open-minded enough, they'll start to believe, or at least appreciate and accept, that others have different beliefs.
Yeah.
And that you don't have to go about killing all of them just because they're different.
Mm-hmm.
It's a socially conscious show.
Which is interesting for the 2nd and 3rd century, or whatever, or where we're at, the 8th, 9th, and 10th century.
Right.
But a lot of that, and the funny part is like, back then, the English looked at the Vikings as pagans. Mm-hmm. Now, the Vikings would bathe once, twice a week. English was like once a month.
Right,
yeah. They were heathens.
But...
Vikings are always bathing. Watch this show.
They were more into health conscious in a lot of different aspects compared to the English.
Well, they had ready access to water much more. Yeah. You know? They're always right on the coast.
English are surrounded by water.
Yeah. But, well, we've seen this season, we have 2 episodes left.
Yep.
And they already are filming the 5th season.
Mm-hmm.
And what about the chariot?
So this show's going to go for a long time. Oh.
What do you think about that?
Yeah. What'd you think of Ivar's war chariot?
That was pretty awesome.
Found a way for the crippled guy to fight in a battle.
If there's one thing Floki's going to do, it's be creative. And, yes. And I liked that, like, when you first saw it, you were like, but it's a horse and chariot, and what's going to happen, with the horse, and what's going to happen? But then, when you saw it in action... this past episode where the horse is basically armored up just as well as everyone else.
Yeah.
And you're like, they're not killing the horse and stopping them. So,
well, the cool thing also is if you watch Ivar, the way he's running and taking this thing in front of the army, it looks like a Roman legion.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's raising this thing the way you would think Romans would do this.
Right.
Oh, I loved it when they started coming up. And like, oh, we could take these. And then they just kept coming.
Then there was more.
And coming. You had like little groups. They just kept coming and coming and coming.
You saw that, like, the king's face was just kind of like, oh, crap.
What did we do?
Like, just all of a sudden, there's so crap. And the interesting thing with Ivar is the fact that, you know, as a cripple, he's still treated as an equal.
And that's how he was in real.
By his family,
yeah,
yes.
Exactly. And he was raised that way, and the family accepted him that way, which... considering the time, and like you said, it's primarily the family that sees him that way, mm-hmm. considering the time is amazing. Like, because in the beginning, Ragnar did want to kill him at first when he was born. Yeah,
that's what you do.
And his legs were spindly. He just wanted to take him out. His mom wouldn't let him, and you're getting something out of it. But but then once everyone understands that that's Ragnar's son,
yeah,
then all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay.
That was in the bar.
Yeah, when they were in the Great Hall before they left for battle, uh-huh. The two guys were saying, well, who's the cripple?
Yeah, they were making fun of him and laughing.
That, and his older brother says, that is another son of Ragnar Lothbrok.
And then the look on their face.
You will learn to respect him if you want to live.
Yeah.
But then when you see him in, you know, quote-unquote action, it's crazy.
That's the one dude that can kill everybody.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And he will. I'm
because
just
in Poland Morano, his life, his upper body is so much stronger than everybody else's.
Yeah. The only issue I have is that, from a production standpoint, if he's doing all this with his hands and everything like that, his hands never look like they're in bad shape.
Yeah.
He wears those thick gloves.
Yeah, but I mean, there'd still be something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because he's doing that all the time. Just that little thing bothered me. But considering everything else.
Well, in real, they said that he was carried around on a shield.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you kind of see that a little bit with all the piggybacks he's getting from everybody now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how many times has he almost killed his brother, but the other two stop
him? One of them's going to die sometime soon.
Well, there's one that's just older than him that keeps pushing him, and there's like two or three times that he's gotten an axe right above his head.
The one time with the hatchet, and he got...
And then the other one at the throat, but the blacksmith grabbed him.
Uh-huh.
Quick.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, they were in the... When they were in the blacksmith shop, and the one... They start mouthing off at each other. And then just out of the blue.
He snapped. Like, that's how you know he's just like his dad.
Yeah. He's not stable. Well, no, Ragnar really was never stable.
I think he's more like Rollo.
No, in the beginning, Ragnar would snap at people, though. Like, he would suddenly snap on things. It's not that he was unstable. No. He would snap, but Ivar
is totally unstable. When he snaps, it's a total psychotic break. Right.
Yes.
To where he would kill everybody in the region if they would let him.
And he snapped when he was a kid, and he was in the, like, what, six?
He
was in that cart, and the kids were playing,
and he
took the ball away from him, and he got mad and bapped the kid upside the head and killed him right there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's how you knew.
He snapped.
He killed someone. Yeah. That was it. That's how you knew.
That's exactly when he snapped.
And then he almost killed... what's her face when she was having sex with him and she had to talk him out of it.
Yeah,
right.
And prove to him that...
I won't tell anybody what happened.
It's like, it takes more of a man to do this and this. I mean...
Which she lucked out on that one.
She did.
She was quick.
And the thing is, though, I have a feeling that, you know, he's obviously not forgetting any of this. So he's either taking out one of the brothers or her because of it. You know?
Probably.
Well, can you imagine if he comes in and it's the two brothers and her?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I'm wondering.
He likes to do things at night. He likes to, like, skulk around at night when no one knows he's coming.
What's going to be interesting also, though, is looking into the future. I don't know if it's going to... We've only got two episodes this season.
Yeah.
So it may not pay off this season. But...
Although, one thing. I think he has a little thing for Floki's new little daughter.
Yeah, he does.
Possibly.
Because she was screaming when he came in the one time.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that has to do with more of him being cripple.
Yeah.
Than anything, because she'd never seen that sort of thing. And plus... I don't know what's going on with this. Like, why the hell did Floki's wife do this? Like, she totally abducted her.
She wanted a daughter.
No, I realize she wanted a daughter. I realize that. And she was the age that their daughter would have been.
Yeah.
So, but the fact that she just, like, flat out abducted her from her homeland, and she's like, oh, it's okay. She's our daughter now.
Well, both of her parents
were killed by
her. That's
the way it worked back then.
I was going to say, that's historically Viking.
Yeah, I know. It's just, like, the whole thing.
Except usually they don't adopt them as daughter. It's like, well, this is my slave now.
Exactly. But, yeah, it's her daughter.
And then they turn around
and
marry
them. They take them into their family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys are talking about Vikings, right?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Okay, have I ever told you guys the story of when I got on Ancestry?
No.
Okay. I didn't know anything about my dad's family at all until I got on Ancestry, and they had, like, a two-week free trial or whatever, and did it over Christmas 3-4 years ago. And when I did that, my dad's family was the one that I could find stuff on really easily, but my mom's family, which I actually know the history of, at least until they came over from the European countries that they did, that's the one I couldn't find history on. But my dad's family hooked up to military history in this country all the way back to pre-Revolutionary War, and then went back to England and hooked up to the Millennial File.
Oh, wow.
Do you guys know what the Millennial File is?
No.
I had no idea until I got on Ancestry. The Millennial File traces noble families and how they disseminated through the world all through the royal families in England. So it goes through there.
So it doesn't have many branches on the tree.
It has a crap ton of branches, but most of them leave.
Right.
So mine went back to the Howards, not Catherine Howard, but one of her sisters.
Okay.
And the Howards are actually descended from Lady Godiva, who is descended from Ragnar Lothbrok. So I am technically a, like, bajillionth descendant of...
There you go.
I know. I was like, Sigurd Snake in the Eye? Who is that? That's awesome!
That's like with us.
Yeah, I've never done it myself, but I guess my dad has a cousin who traced us back, and I know my family actually comes from Denmark, so we're Viking at some point.
There you go.
Nice.
You're Viking and I'm barbarian.
Exactly. She's German. She's German, I'm Viking, so it kind of... Very similar.
Aw,
you...
I know. True love. That's
what... But the beard...
Yeah, yeah, you've got the Viking beard.
Yeah, there's little touches of red once in a while. Like in the summer, it'll turn a little closer to red.
Anyway, sorry to hijack
your... Oh, no, that's fine.
Oh, I need to watch Vikings. Vicky
yes.
and I have discussed this
that show is amazing.
I've only seen, like, the first two episodes. Oh, because no. Because I keep getting sidetracked.
You have to catch up, yeah.
This yeah.
is insane. Awesome. I will eventually.
Well, we got to wrap this up here in a couple minutes anyway.
Yeah, no, played. She walked across the laptop as we were recording.
Did she screw up your recording?
No, she just flipped into a different screen.
She wanted to be something else.
That's right. So, but like I said, we got two more episodes this season. The one I'm wondering is, when is Ivar, and how is he going to deal with Lagatha? Because he's already vowed Lagatha will die.
Yeah.
So how's that going to come? I think that's going to come for next season.
Mm-hmm. Out of all the brothers, I think he's the only one that would kill her.
Yeah, he's the one that would do
yeah.
it. Because the other one that's just older than him doesn't want... And actually, the other three really don't want to kill her. They understand what happened.
Yeah.
They're like, you know what? It sucks, but that's the way it is.
Yeah, that, look what our mom did. She got back.
And I'm thinking some of that is also, they don't want to cross Beorn.
Exactly.
This is the dude that Beorn Ironside is
like, Ivar is forgetting that this is Beorn's mother.
Yes.
Like, admittedly, okay, she did that to their mother, but do you want to deal with Beorn?
Well, see, we were talking about, you know, Aslaug being a seer and everything. She was convinced Ivar was dead. I think that's the reason why she was like, you know, take me out, I don't care, here.
Yeah.
You know, when she threw the sword at Lagatha.
Well, that's the other brothers pointed that out, that you really... Ivar had a totally different relationship with her mother because she really didn't care as much about the other three. She doted and loved and threw everything on Ivar.
But wasn't that Sigurd? Isn't isn't that Sigurd?
Yeah.
Yeah, she had done the same thing until Ivar came along. Then once Ivar came along, I was like, well, you're on your own. I got this one.
It was I mean, he was the one that was saying that to him.
True.
So it's going to be interesting.
Upset she was gone.
That and how long... Until, I don't know how it works for succession since Lagatha's queen.
Right.
How long until they make Beorn king?
Yeah.
If Lagatha either steps down or what, because Beorn already has earned that position.
He does, I mean, based on what I was reading earlier today, he does eventually become king. I don't know, but see, the thing is, it would have to be she dies of natural causes. Because if somebody tried to take her out, then Beorn was going to have to take that person out, so he becomes king.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know. Depends on how much blood is going to be shed.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be it's Vikings. It'll be bloody. The other one that I've noticed this season, just real quick, is this is the, especially in the last couple episodes, the first time they've actually mentioned their countries.
Yes.
And in four seasons, they've never mentioned, and they, as this battle's going on, they're talking about how all of Norway, Sweden, Finland, and Denmark have come out to do this.
Mm-hmm. Because they're finally developing as countries.
That's what I was wondering. Mm-hmm. It's like, when, I don't know, I need to do some history looking to see when these were actually recognized as countries, but, because even at this point, the different city-states still have their own kings.
Is this around 1200?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in there.
Because,
so.
I mean, if you look at the first season... and even the second, they're concerned with earls. They're concerned with the earls of the cities and the villages.
Earldoms and kingdoms, both.
Because the full ideas of countries don't yet exist because they're all still fighting in between themselves.
Yeah.
Well, that blonde girl that the crazy brother was going to kill, didn't he call her a princess?
Mm-hmm.
From somewhere,
An actual, princess. Not like, oh, you're my princess.
Yeah.
I think...
So it's interesting to see... It'd be interesting to do and find out... What the decision was, the difference, why all of a sudden, out of nowhere, after all this time, they've started to actually mention that these are the four countries that are doing this.
Well, right.
And why are they now countries when they weren't before?
I think that maybe they always were countries, but like you said, I think you're starting to get definite cultures from each of these different regions, probably even starting to get their own currency and that sort of thing. And because
that's
of trade,
a big thing with the trade, because if you look at how even Kattegat has grown and become a trading post where it was so small to begin with.
Yeah, it was now like a fishing village to start
now
with.
Now it's important. So knowing where you're from is important. It used to be, we're all Vikings, we're all in this culture, whereas now the separation of the cultures is more important because you're trading with each other in bigger ways.
It's no longer just about... They had to move beyond raiding and warring because, now they're having to be able to trade and deal with other countries to survive.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, if it's just strictly war, eventually they're all going to die out. They have to be able to sustain themselves.
Well, and they're finding more and more of the training that they slowly... Where we're, movie show-wise is where we're going into.
Yes.
More and more, they found evidence of them, you know, in Russia. Mm-hmm. We know, and then they're finally agreeing into, you know, the Americas.
Anywhere that there was water... The Vikings went.
Yes. Well, yeah.
That's actually
because
probably
back
one
then
of
they weren't they weren't able to. Before then,
yeah.
They were like one of the first.
It's
Europeans.
A whole lot. Yeah, it's a whole lot harder to move an army across land than it is to put them on some boats and let them float down the river.
Right.
And their
right.
boats were so small and so light that they could.
Well, one probably final question I want to see because we're running out of time here.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you guys think? Now, we know we have season 5 coming.
Mm-hmm.
Which direction are we going?
I think Russia's next.
What's it? Because we've seen England, we've seen France and Spain.
Well,
where are we going?
They've only barely gotten into their Muslim countries.
Yeah.
So they really have to go further into the Mediterranean, I think.
Okay.
I could see them going into, like, Greece and stuff like that.
Well, before they get to there, do you see them actually show up in Rome?
Mm-hmm. That's true. They could end up in Italy.
Yeah.
Part of it all depends on how good their maps are again. Because
yeah,
if they're
right.
only working with the pieces, and Rollo would not give them the full map.
That's true.
Well, I think he did give them the rest of the map.
He did eventually, yeah.
Or we could see a group go to Greenland.
That's a long way off before they go west.
Right.
That's a way off. That's true.
First is Iceland.
Yeah.
That's why Iceland's called Iceland, Greenland's Greenland. Because they got smart, and they call Iceland, but Iceland's actually really, really nice, and Greenland is not.
Yeah.
Right. So.
I think Russia's going
to be the next one. They do have to go further land-wise. Like, they're doing what they can water-wise.
Right.
But land-wise, if they try to go into Russia,
like Vicky was just saying, are we moving towards Russia maybe soon?
But again, this season...
Well, they actually did kind of do that, because the Asian... Mm-hmm. Girl that Ragnar was working with, she had to have come from that direction.
They know Asia is there.
She probably came through the spice route.
I mean, mm-hmm. and it could be like the Mongolia, which is the edge of Russia, Asia sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But this season is proof that they're willing to split up their parties.
Yes.
Right.
And go in different directions.
Well, you
got to
remember, the only
things.
Reason they didn't continue into the Mediterranean was because of Ragnar's death.
Yeah.
Right.
If he hadn't been killed...
That's true, so now they can
Ayla would
back.
Still be alive, obviously.
Uh-huh.
But the Viking army would have continued going into the Mediterranean.
But getting into all that, I love his daughter.
Yeah.
She is way... And that's because of Ekbert. She's way beyond.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. You know, basically, her mom was, like, scolding her, and she shut her mom down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Her dad was just like...
And now that they've gotten their revenge in England, it's kind of like...
Yeah, but we got two more episodes, have they? Is
well,
Ekbert
no,
going wait, down next?
I mean, in the future, though. Like, I mean, from what they're doing in England, I mean, they're going to want to go after Ekbert because they already knew that because Iva's been telling them. That's what Dad said. He wants you to go for him.
This is the guy that killed me.
Well, it's
this is the guy that caused it.
Yeah. Getting revenge on them killing everybody right after they left that was farming.
Right.
Yeah.
They were warriors.
This whole season was basically Ragnar's revenge.
Yeah.
Yes.
The reason he wanted to go back to England was because of his people being killed.
Mm-hmm.
The reason he did everything and had and talked King Ayla or Ekbert into having Ayla kill him was the same thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to destroy both of these kingdoms.
They've taken out so much of it in England, and now by next season, I think they can get back to their own continent. You know, continental
possibly.
Europe sort of thing, and that's where they can lead with the Mediterranean, and then possibly. Finally moving over into something like Russia or something like that.
Yeah.
But what do you think about, getting back to all that, what do you think about Rollo's wife?
She's changed a lot over the past 10 years.
Uh-huh.
That's a strong French woman.
I like her.
Behind closed doors, she's cussing him out and smacking and pushing the nose.
Well, she told him not to. She said, if you
leave, don't leave.
Don't come back.
Don't come back.
And I'm like, okay. He left. And I'm like, okay, dude, you made your decision.
Then he came back and she punched him in the face.
And she punched him in the face.
You watch Rollo and all these, because that happened when they first got together. Yeah. And I think he likes it.
He does.
He likes her beating on him.
He likes a strong woman.
Exactly. He's used to strong women.
Yeah.
This is like a...
She's the closest to a Viking woman
she's found.
That's the
only reason he really wanted to be with this woman.
Yeah.
It's a strong woman.
She reminds him of a Viking woman.
And as much as she hates Vikings, she's a Viking herself.
Exactly.
You know? I mean, she dotted his eye hard.
But no, see, that was another thing with the Vikings. They were very... They were explorers.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to go and see, and that was part of him.
That's just it. Like that's where the show has to continue. They have to keep exploring. Yeah. That's mm-hmm. kind of part of the point. Mm-hmm.
And then, and also evolving their worldview of how you deal with other cultures and such.
Exactly. Right. It's already changing.
Which we've already seen since the first episode to now.
Mm-hmm. And you see, which is further further deeper change in Floki. Because Floki used to be just about, oh, they're different from us, let's take them out.
Yeah, kill everybody who's not us.
And now, like, I wonder if you're going to start seeing that change. Like, I see that change in more, like, okay, so it's not just about going and taking these people's riches. Let's set up trade lines. Mm-hmm. You know, we have, I don't know what, we have fish.
We have fish.
We have fish, you have...
Well, one thing that Vikings have that the other cultures don't have yet is the ships.
Mm-hmm.
The type of ships that the Vikings use. Everybody has ships.
Yeah. Right.
Well, France does now because of Rollo.
Yeah, well, they have boats and ships, but the knowledge of how the Vikings build their ships, which was as light and fast but still able to stand up to the ocean.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing, the sturdiness of their ships considering how far they traveled.
Mm-hmm. And deeper knowledge of traveling longer distances.
Exactly, yes, navigation.
Navigation.
Mm-hmm. So, but...
That's why it's important to watch this show. It's enjoyable and entertaining, and it's educational.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why it's on the History Channel. It surprised history. It surprised the hell out of the History Channel that mm-hmm. this show took off. Mm-hmm. I think they were probably looking at a season and then going like, well, maybe, you know...
Well, look at how many other shows they've done this with.
Yeah.
There was a Revolutionary War series that had like one season.
Mm-hmm.
There's all these other ones that they've done since Vikings to try to figure out what else
they had to get one that was going to fit what people wanted now.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Vikings.
I mean, you know, was it in the first season, the thing that set everything off was a bucket of water and that little dial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a primitive compass.
And then he had the stone.
The sunstone to be able to see the stone.
And that was actually
so you could build a sextant. Yeah. And everybody already had sextants.
Right.
They just did, the whole problem with crossing the sea, remember, was always that, especially the North Sea that they're crossing.
Right.
There's clouds everywhere all the time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's right.
And in history, they've actually almost, but not quite, they have never found an actual sunstone.
No.
Yeah.
But it's all throughout history. No, they never found a real one because they tried to use it. It didn't quite work, but they've modified and actually made one that does work, but it was like handmade.
But right. It was polished.
Yeah. They had to polish it just
made
right.
A difference.
And it
We've not found an artifact that was an actual sunstone.
Because with it being, you know, what it is,
More likely, it's none of them are surviving. They have proved the theory that mm-hmm. this actually worked.
Well, the ones they found were broken in graves.
So,
because the one he did make it, and
it worked to get him across the sea. But we're running real long today, which is fine by me. We can keep going if you guys want.
There's so much to talk about. But you know what? We can do a recap in a few weeks after it's all over.
Yeah,
and see where it ended. And
there's plenty more to talk about this.
Yeah.
So, but before we do, let's get start with Vicky here. Final thoughts on where we're at and where do things going on, and just final thoughts on Vikings.
It's one of my favorite shows. I mean, we know that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like the history. Michael Hirst makes some great shows.
What else has he made?
He did Tudors.
Oh, okay.
Tudors was another really good one. Yeah.
I've not seen Tudors, but it sounded like an interesting show.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Yeah.
Andy liked it.
Well, yeah. John Rhys Davies, is it? Yeah, he's coming.
Yeah.
The Vikings?
Yeah. He's going to be a bishop or something.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So, Miss Dawn, what's your final thoughts on Vikings for today?
It's worth watching. Like, even if you're not a big history nut or something, just for the good storytelling that's... It just because it's based on history doesn't mean it's boring, seriously.
Oh,
it's,
no.
It's anything but... This has never had a boring episode. It's never had a bad episode, which is surprising for a TV show that's gone on for so long to never have something that drags out.
Yeah.
And, well, the nice thing is, there's always payoff.
Nice thing with that no boring episodes is the fact that they've... Until this season... I gotta double check the episode
counts. Well, the
counts,
fact that there's only one writer. Normally there's like a bunch, and there's one.
Yeah.
I gotta check the episode counts, but if I remember right, this is the first season. Season 4 is the first time they've had more than 10 episodes in a season.
No, last season they did.
No, last season was 10. I looked. It was season 3. Vikings.
So I gotta look it up again. They're doing more and more where they're doing half the beginning of the year and the other half is the second.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because season 1 was 9 episodes. 2, they had 10. Season 3 was 10. Then season 4, they split in half. So basically it's 4 and 5, but they kept it as season 4.
Right.
And it was 20 episodes there. Season 5, they have scheduled for 20 also.
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually 7 seasons if you go by the original count.
Right.
But by doing that, you have 10 episodes. You don't have time for filler. You have to get the story to move.
Right.
So that's why a lot of people call it the European style of filming, which BBC uses a lot, mm-hmm. where it's 10 to 12 episodes and that's it.
And that's why they skip time... So many
time jumps, yeah.
Like, it, you know, 10, 15 years or whatever.
And I'm fine with the time. Like, you know, I was kind of weird with the first couple of time jumps.
Well, because it wasn't quite clear right at the beginning that they jumped so much.
But I'm okay with it now because I don't need to be there for every... Because, you know, mm-hmm. there are certain things that...
Well, that's how they prevent the boredom.
Right.
Yeah.
So. Well, that, the casting is what also helps a lot.
Right.
They've done amazing with that.
So, Kylan, how about you? Final thoughts on Vikings for today.
I love the show. This one of the few shows I can honestly say that I have not missed an episode ever. And being a lover of history, it draws me right in. So,
cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how far they take it.
For me, I think I've always loved shows about like mythology and something. It's fun when they take mythology and just make it fun and turn it into action and all this type of stuff. Mm-hmm. This fits right in with that.
Mm-hmm.
So my final thoughts is really go watch it.
Yes,
I believe all seasons 1 through 3 are all on Amazon. Or I think Amazon has them too at this point. But they're you can go to History's website if you have cable.
Mm-hmm.
If not, a lot of the older episodes are on Hulu. I know, and I think Netflix has them.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So find this show, check it out. Within a couple of months, I think, or a week or a couple of months after the season's over, Hulu gets them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So but they do it as the binge watch where they drop the whole season the way Netflix does.
Mm-hmm.
So, for that, Geeksters, you know, we tell you every week, go check out GeekWatch1.com for all things GeekWatch 1 and all of our calendar, find out where everything's at. All social media, it's GeekWatch 1 and GeekWatch1@gmail.com. Send us an email, tell us what you thought about Vikings. is it a good show or are we totally off base?
Or are you just wrong?
Or are you wrong? You've been wrong before. So, and from that, check us out on the TangentBoundNetwork.com and WeebieGeeksPC.com. And other than that, for Kylan and for Miss Dawn and for Vicky and for myself, just remember,
no matter where you go, there you are.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.